sure.
Singing, you may be seated. If you have your Bibles today and you want to follow along, we're in 1 Samuel 28, looking at the life of David. most of you remember well Superstorm Sandy, right? We were without power for about 2 weeks. I can remember before the storm, seeing pictures in the paper or seeing the news when we had electricity of people running into Home Depot and Lowe's and buying generators and all of that stuff. And they sold a record number of generators. It was amazing to see. But darkness was around for a long time, correct? Unfortunately, some of those people who had generators neglected to secure them in some way. And guess what other people were doing at night? Stealing the generators. Some of you are old enough, like me, to remember in the late 60s, the great blackout of New York. In the house we lived in Rutherford, I could see the skyline of New York. Our picture window just faced the skyline. And my mother and I were watching the 5 o'clock news, and the screen got fuzzy. I'm saying, something's going on. What's going on? That's before cable, by the way, right? We had antennas back then. And I had direct view of the Empire State Building and the skyline. And then I started to see lights going out in Manhattan. Scary. There's something scary about darkness. My father worked at One Broadway in Manhattan. He was in an elevator when the power went out. He was able to climb out the trap door in the ceiling, find doors in the darkness, the elevator doors, pry them open. And back then, there was no emergency lighting like we have now. His building was totally dark, and all he did was find a wall, put his back against it, and just sit down for the whole night. Now, this is New York. Knowing that in New York, anything can happen. So he figured if he was sitting and he was out of the way, you know, he was kind of safe. Well, of course, my mother was a worrier. No cell phones, no phone service back then in New York. So we had no idea, you know, what happened. And my father said that during the night, there were people coming off the street into the building because there was no security, right? And they were selling flashlights. This was, I think, 68 was the blackout. They were selling flashlights back then at $50 a piece and batteries for like $5 a piece, right? But it's amazing the length that people will go through and the expense they will go through to have light in the darkness. By the way, Lowe's and Home Depot experienced record returns after the blackout was over for Sandy. People just said, I don't need this anymore, and they brought it back. And then they changed their policy and all of this. But there's something about darkness that's eerie, right? There's something about darkness. Here's my fear. My fear is this, that we in our culture somehow, and I think it's because of the proliferation of some of the things our culture promotes, can grow numb to darkness. We can grow numb. It's easy to grow numb to darkness. The reason why I say that, when 9/11 hit, I opened the church up for prayer, and people were coming in and out and praying. Churches were full for 6 weeks, full, overflowing. And people I talked to who were in New York that day said that when they either saw it in person or saw it on the news, they just thought it was a scene from a movie, when in fact it was the darkness of evil experienced. We play around with darkness sometimes, don't we? Even Christians, I'm sad to say, we play around with darkness. A lot of the songs that Bill prayerfully picked out this week had the contrast of darkness and light. I don't know if you caught that. When we're in the will of God and we're walking with God in the power of the Holy Spirit, the Bible says we walk in the light. Isn't that true? When we're in the Word, what does the psalmist say? Your Word, Lord, is what? A lamp unto my feet. It's a light. Jesus is the light of the world. Darkness has always been associated with Satan and his cronies and our sin nature, by the way. Because everybody's got a dark side, right? I often complain to Mary Lou. Ever since I've known her, I've had a heavy beard. I get 5 o'clock shadow at noon. That's the way it is. When we were dating, I would have to shave twice a day. And, that's just who I am. Well, every one of us has a dark side, whether we want to realize it or not. And I come to a passage like this, where we look at Saul again in First Samuel 28. And this guy who has had revelation from God, who has repeatedly been more concerned about himself and his own reputation than what God's will is, whose heart got so hardened and so numb that even when he was confronted with the truth, he wouldn't even repent. Israel's in trouble at this point, and he doesn't know what to do. He's the king. He cried out to God, and God just gave him over to his own hard heart. And there's some really hard words in here. God didn't answer him. Wow. Look at this with me. Let me get my clicker. I'm going to start at verse 3. Now, is this the right? I think I have the wrong thing, chapter. Oh, no, I have the right chapter. Okay, here we go. I was looking at the wrong chapter in my Bible. All right. Now Samuel was dead, and all Israel had mourned for him, and they buried him in his own town of Ramah. Saul had expelled all the what? Mediums and spiritists from the land. What's a medium? A fortune teller, psychic. By the way, we have several around, don't we? All right. Fortune teller and psychic and spiritist, same thing. Usually spiritist is more of the one who would call up people from the dead, okay? And so early in his reign, he had them all thrown out, done away with. And that's in obedience, by the way, to Deuteronomy 18. Deuteronomy 18, very explicit instruction that where was to Israel back then, but the general application is to us, that we should have nothing to do with sorcerers, mediums, fortune tellers, anything like that. I told you last week, one of the most discouraging conversations I've had over the years of my ministry is when I hear believers say to me they went to a fortune teller. And I'm saying, you don't know the forces you're playing with here. You really don't understand the forces. Maybe you do understand and you're ignoring what God says. Here's where we grow numb in this stuff. We grow numb because we'll say, I have a little fun on the Ouija board. You know? Or we'll just go fortune teller. We know they're full of hokum, but hey, listen. Satan is a shrewd adversary. And if there's any way he can put the bait in front of us, and we take it, man, it's a slippery slope from then on. It really is. One of the most disappointing things that I've seen over the years, I'm just speaking as a pastor, is the increase of crazy movies that deal with this stuff. Yeah. Years ago, before even Mary Lou and I knew the Lord, we went to see The Exorcist. How many remember that? I mean, that's scary enough, you know. And I do believe that people can get demon possessed. Not believers, by the way, but people can get demon possessed. And I believe we have the power to exorcise demons when there's really are demons. But I went into that thinking, this is just. And then when she threw up the pea soup, I was turned off. Yeah, that revolted me. But people get sucked into this. I hear people say, I read my horoscope today. Yeah, and? Well, it says I'm going to have a good day. Well, what if it says you're going to have a bad day? You're going to stay home? Yeah. Did you consult God? You think God knows more than the person who wrote it? It's like just like going to a Chinese restaurant. I open my fortune cookie, right? And, you know, I got a fortune that said one day, your fortune is in another cookie. Can only happen to me. Excuse me. This is serious stuff, though. This is a matter of darkness and light. And the Bible is very clear that when we are not walking with the Lord, we tend to embrace darkness. We tend to embrace darkness. Look what happens here. The Philistines assembled and came up to the camp. Well, Saul gathered all Israel and set up camp at Gibeah. When Saul saw the Philistine army, he was what? And terror filled his heart. You know why? Because he knew that God had taken the kingdom away from him at this point for his disobedience. He had no relationship with God. And that relationship was broken by blatant sin. Isn't that sad? So instead, he was afraid and terrified. He inquired of the Lord. Boy, this verse scares me. But the Lord did not answer him by dream or Urim or prophets. God was silent. Saul said to his attendants, find a woman who is a medium so I may go to inquire of her. Whoa, how desperate are we? When we grow numb to the darkness, it makes us a hypocrite. What did the verse before say? Saul had done what? He got rid of these people. Now he's looking for one. What a hypocrite. He's looking for one. There's one in Endor, they said. Now, here's the thing. How does Saul's men know that? I don't know the answer to that question, but isn't it funny that he expelled probably the majority of them? But there's one thing about darkness, it always will come back. It will find a way back. And they knew that there was one in Endor. So Saul disguised himself. I'm cracking up only because, you know, this is so true. I'll give you an illustration in a second. Saul disguised himself, putting on other clothes, and at night, right, in the darkness, he went, he and two other men went to the woman. Consult the spirit for me, he said. Bring up for me the one I name. Now, this is dangerous stuff. Now, I got to preface this in a minute, okay? And here it is. Here's the caution. I believe that most of these people are phonies. That's my belief. You can differ with me. But there are some who can connect. All right. That doesn't make them legitimate. It makes them dangerous because they're connecting with forces far beyond what they could ever think. It makes them dangerous. Look at this woman. This woman's very suspicious. But the woman said to him, surely you know what Saul has done. He has cut off the mediums and spiritists from the land. Why do you have a trap set up for my life to bring about my death? She still didn't know who he was at this point, but she knew that if she declared herself to be a medium or a spiritist, Saul could have her killed. Saul swore to her by the Lord. Talk about hypocrisy. I'm giving you my word, you know, from God. His relationship with God is totally broken down. As surely as the Lord lives, you will not be punished for this. Then the woman said, who shall I bring up for you? Bring up Samuel, the prophet. When the woman saw Samuel, she cried out at the top of her voice. This is a bizarre scene. Why have you deceived me? You are Saul. Whoa. Catch this, the picture here? The king said to her, don't be afraid. What do you see? The woman said, I see a ghostly figure coming up out of the earth. Now listen to me. When we become a friend in darkness, and we stop walking in light of Jesus, we have no choice than to disguise ourselves in the darkness. Isn't that what Peter did on the way to the cross when he denied Christ 3 times? Isn't that what he did? In the darkness. I don't know this man. I never knew this man. Yeah, but you're one of them, not me. Not me. Saul tried to deceive the medium here. He opened himself up to forces that he should have never, ever tampered with. Never. He did this because of his own insecurity. He was more worried about himself than he was about Israel. And he did this at his own insecurity. He is faced again with his own failures. Look what happens here. What does he look like, he asks? An old man wearing a robe. Robe was typically worn by kings and prophets. Then Saul knew it was Samuel. And he bowed down and prostrated himself with his face to the ground. By the way, it's another move that should have never happened. The only person we bow down to is the Lord Jesus Christ and God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. Look at Samuel's rebuke. Samuel said to Saul, why have you disturbed me by bringing me up? Look at Saul's reaction. I'm in great distress. It's all about me. The Philistines are fighting against, not Israel, me. And God departed from me. He no longer answers me, either by the prophets or dreams. So I called on you to tell me what to do. Samuel said, why do you consult me? Now the Lord has departed from you and become your enemy. Basically, what Samuel's saying here is this. You didn't want me when I was alive. You want me now? What's wrong with you? Says, the Lord has done what he predicted through me. Samuel prophesied all of this. Saul knew it already. The Lord has torn the kingdom from your hands and given it to one of your neighbors, to David. Because you did not obey the Lord or carry out his fierce wrath against the Amalekites, the Lord has done this to you today. Wow. Listen, some people will come back to me, I guarantee you, later on and say this. Well, what about Scrooge? Didn't Scrooge have a visit from the spirits? Oh, yeah. But that was different. What was different about it? First of all, Scrooge didn't see a medium or a spiritist, number one. Second of all, God allowed him these visions for one purpose and one purpose only, his salvation. His salvation. What God is showing Saul here is his death. And even in doing that, it didn't spur Saul to repent. You remember Scrooge the day he woke up on Christmas Day? What was he doing? He was jumping, opened the window, said it was a glorious day. Not one bah humbug, right? He was a changed man. He was changed because I believe, if you read the book is much better, by the way. I believe that God sent him a vision for his salvation. Here, the devil sent a vision to Saul for his destruction. It's a big contrast. The Lord will deliver both Israel and you into the hands of the Philistines. Oof. And tomorrow, you and your sons will be with me. The Lord will also give the army of Israel into the hands of the Philistines. This is a bleak picture, right? Huh. Immediately, Saul fell full length on the ground, filled with fear because of Samuel's words. His strength was gone. He had eaten nothing all that day and all that night. Another unwise move, by the way, because for a king to be in battle, to fast was not a wise thing. So Saul is kind of losing it here, right? It says, when the woman came to Saul and saw how greatly he was shaken, she said, "Look, your servant has obeyed you. I took my life in my hands and did what you told me. Now please listen to your servant and let me give you some food so that you may eat and have the strength to go on." Now, let me tell you the end of the story. It happened just as Samuel said. The next day there was the battle. Saul and unfortunately his son was killed in battle. Saul was wounded. And Saul knew what the Philistines would do with a wounded soldier, especially him, torture and all. And he asked one of his armor bearers to kill him, to spare him that embarrassment. And the armor bearer wouldn't do it, and he ends up falling on his own sword. The king is dead. He is dead. So then David becomes king. Now listen to me. Let me tell you some of the things that Saul forgot and David didn't. Saul forgot about the infinite power and holiness of God. God is far more powerful, he's all powerful, than any forces of darkness or evil. Do you realize that Satan is a powerful adversary, but he's not all powerful? Only God is. He forgot that God is holy. Absolutely holy. This is why, as a pastor, it upsets me when I see people who kind of play around with darkness. You don't know the forces you're playing with. And when people have told me that, I tell them, run back to God. Just run back to him. Not only is God holy and powerful, he's light. Now, that's good or bad. How many of you took biology? Did you ever do the experiment where you had the microscope and you took a sample of tap water and put it under the microscope? You never did that? Don't do it. Because when you do that, you see all the microbes in it. And the reason why you see the microbes in it is because there's intense light underneath that exposes this. We walk in the light, we're in a safe place. But if we are in rebellion against God, his light will expose our sin. Just as it exposed Saul and others, David later on in his life. His light will always expose. So his light's kind of a double-edged sword here. That's my way of saying this, that we can do nothing in the darkness. It will always be revealed. Listen, I don't want to get too graphic, but years ago, when there were adult bookstores were popular, if you ever watched anybody going in there, they go and try to be as disguised as possible, right? Kind of put on a hat, put on a hood, you know, put on sunglasses. It was kind of funny to watch. But here's progress, baby. And there's a few of those bookstores left, but you don't even have to go to the bookstore anymore. You do it right in your home. You're playing around with darkness. God is holy. He's powerful. He's infinitely powerful. He is light. God's truth will always stand. Who had the last word with Saul? God. He always will. His truth will always stand. And listen to me. If you take nothing away from this morning, take this. God will never be mocked. You can play around with darkness, but God's not going to be mocked. He'll have the last word. He'll show his strength. He'll show his holiness, and we will suffer if we don't repent from it. So how about it? How about us? Now listen, I'm not trying to come down hard on anybody. You know, some of you are going to leave here today and say, "Pastor doesn't like us looking at our horoscope." I, you know, there's something deeper going on here, okay? Well, yeah, I would say if you have Ouija boards, get rid of them. I tell you that. What I will say to you is be discerning. With God's wisdom, be discerning, especially in the month of October. Your the movies you will see on even regular networks will be about darkness. You know, the spirit. Why are we so attracted? And again, play, you know, you guys are going to throw stuff at me. But why are we so attracted even to put on costumes of hideous looking things? I mean, hideous. One of the programs, I laugh at it. I'm sorry. If you're involved with it, you can punch me later. But this whole thing about The Walking Dead, you know, that's his favorite show. All right. Why do we get so enamored by this stuff? Well, they're not really they're not really dead. They're the undead. You know, that's like telling me there's another phase of life going on here. You know, the Bible says, if my heart's not beating, I'm dead. But if my heart's beating, I'm alive. And I'm even more alive if I have Christ in me. You know, so, you know, to see a zombie walking along with his ear falling off or his, you know, nose falling off or whatever. And listen, you know me, I'm not legalistic by any stretch of the imagination. All I'm saying is be very discerning, because this stuff helps make us numb to the other stuff. In the news this morning, New York News, I read another cop was shot to death in the line of duty last night. Do you realize between police officers, just in New York City, getting shot this year, and those who have committed suicide, it's a symptom of evil and the darkness that surrounds us. Greater is he that is in who? Than he that is in the world. Either we walk in the light of that truth, or Satan will be there trying to bait us every step of the way. Now, please don't leave here and say, Pastor, you're telling us not to celebrate Halloween. Now, listen, you know, you got little kids. They don't know. You know, they don't know. I'm not talking about that. What I'm talking about is the danger of becoming so enamored by the darkness that we lose ourselves in it. Be discerning. Be discerning. If you want to give candy to anybody, I'll take it. I mean, if you have that urge, you know, I'll even come dressed as a minister. All right? I have that urge. You know, you want to get candy? Better yet, you want to give me cookies? Better yet. Yeah, donuts are fine. You know, I never met a donut I didn't like. You know, if you want to throw some pasta in there, I'm okay with that too. Just be careful. The dark side is a very real thing. It's a very real thing. Warren Wiersbe said something years ago, and I'll close with this. He said, anything from God is always meant to build you up. Anything from the devil is always meant to destroy you. That's a good guideline. Anything from God is always meant to build you up. Anything from the devil is meant to destroy you. Amen? Miss, what did I do?
Cracking myself
up. Are you? Should I be cracking up or what?
You said donuts are from the devil.
Oh, donuts are from the devil?
According to me.
I'll tell you a quick story about donuts. This has nothing to do with the sermon. My father, type of metabolism, he could eat anything. bread, donuts, anything, not gain an ounce. He'd come home from work, he'd eat a loaf of Italian bread with his meal, with provolone or something like that. Never had a waist size higher than 28.
Right? Wow. That's not fair.
It's not fair. I marry a good cook. When I married her, my waist size was 32. Believe it or not. I'll never see that again until I get into glory. So are donuts of the devil? Only when they go to my waist. That's when they go to the table. God is good.
All the time.
God
is good.
If you are a Christ follower and you walk in his light, one of the assurances that we have is that we belong to him. Amen? God is light. Christ is light. The Holy Spirit is light. Walk in the power of the Holy Spirit in the light. Would you stand, please?
There's no need for hiding, 'cause I belong.